This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to our penultimate session. So next week will be our last session from this blessed series titled Married Ever After. So we promise to divide this series into how many sections? Do you remember? 14 sections. Three sections. Four sections. Yeah, it was four sections, and we've covered three, and we've done about 16 or so principles, 15 actually to be precise. So inshallah, all of the answers are correct. But what I meant to say is that we have four bundles. Four phases. The first phase, we said, was the Quranic principles that a Muslim husband and wife are to bear in mind before they even embark on marriage. And then the second batch of principles were those principles from the Quran to ensure the continuation of the marriage, its blossoming, its flourishing. So Quranic principles for the good times. And then we came on to batch number what? Number three, which were Quranic principles that dealt with what? When problems begin to arise in a relationship. And this evening, inshallah, we're going to do the last two of those principles, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And next week will be another batch of three under the title of Principles from the Quran Post-Divorce, which will perhaps cover some of the most important headings of this entire series and have the greatest ramifications for those who don't uphold them. So principle 16 is where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4 of the Quran, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Return your dispute back to Allah and His Messenger. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That is, if you truly believe in Allah and the last day. You have a dispute with your wife, your husband. There are several avenues that you can take. Ensure that the key avenue that you take before thinking about anything else is that you know the position of Islam with respect to this particular dispute that you are going through. And you do that by going, for the most part, to a scholar who knows what he is talking about. And that's not by going to an internet blog, a website, your personal preference. The idea is to know what the religion wants from you in this particular dispute. And this is dangerously absent in the lives of many quarreling husbands and wives. See, the scholars, dear brother, dear sister, are unanimously agreed that there is no opinion that is to be considered absolute in every sense of the word, other than that which comes from our Lord and His Sharia. Whether this opinion is coming from a parent, a friend you respect and admire, even your sheikh, a political authority, a cultural norm, an internet marriage related site, there is no opinion out there that is to be considered free from all faults. It is concrete and absolute, such that you can say, so and so has spoken, therefore the matter is settled, the dispute is lifted, and every other opinion is wrong. You can't say that about anyone's opinion other than that which comes to us by way of what? By way of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise, this person whom you are saying has this type of opinion, this is a person you've placed on par with the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, and that is associating a musharra, a legislator, with him, and he is a man who received revelation from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is why I take you on a quick tour of some of the ayat of the Quran that speak about this value that the ultimate say in your marriage and outside of your marriage belongs to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And when He has spoken, every other opinion takes a backseat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Any matter that you have disputed over, its ruling is to be taken back to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. No, by your Lord, Allah said, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They can have no iman, no faith, till they do what? حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Till they make you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the judge for the disputes that happened between them. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Then after they made you the judge, they find no discomfort in their hearts about your verdict. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they submit in full submission. The ultimate authority during times of disputes and other times is Wahi, revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ. It is not for a believing man, وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ, or a believing woman, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. If Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that they should then have any say after that. Imagine. And in the ayah that we are covering now, in the principle, what is the principle? What does it read, brothers? Remind me. Arsalan, what does it read? Not sure. Return it to Allah and His Messenger. From Surah An-Nisa. Take the context of the ayah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Wa ulil amri minkum, and those who are in charge amongst you. They are the scholars, according to one tafsir. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. If, however, you fall out over a matter, what do you do? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That is, if you truly believe in Allah and the last day, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That is best and brings about the fairest resolution, Allah said. Therefore, when there is a dispute between husband and wife, their immediate go-to is, does our religion have something to say about this? If it does, that needs to be our knee-jerk reaction. So this is when a husband and wife, they agree from the outset of their relationship. How are we going to manage our conflicts? And I prefer the statement or the sentence of conflict management as opposed to conflict resolution. Because a lot of conflicts, there is no solution for them. It's just a challenge that needs managing rather than a problem that needs solving. It can't be solved. You have a fallout with your mother-in-law. What are you going to do? You just have to manage it. You can't kill her. Right? So conflict management. So you have an issue with your spouse. They agree from the outset that our reference is going to be the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's not from my understanding or your understanding. Is we're going to go to somebody who knows his stuff, who studied their religion, and has a few years of experience under his belt, as we've mentioned in other lectures, and we will make this person the judge. And then they make a second agreement after that, which is just as important as the first, which is when we come to learn of what Allah has said in this matter that we've fallen out over, we make an agreement that we submit to it. We submit to it. You see, brothers and sisters, this blessed couple, they have realized one of the most important rules in life. And that rule says that if there is a couple who've made the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the bedrock of their marriage, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it upon His divine self to assist them in their journey of marriage. Even if they may lack all of the ingredients for a successful marriage. And the opposite is true. If a couple have made the bedrock of their relationship sin, ma'asiyah, disobedience to Allah, ghafla, distracted hearts, endless pursuit and conversation of dunya, then shaitan will take it upon himself to separate them sooner or later, even if that couple have all of the ingredients for a successful marriage. Here, I want to share with you two particular points when speaking about return your dispute back to Allah and His Messenger so that we don't misunderstand the application of this principle. The first of them, is that by our nature, man has an aversion to advice. He doesn't like being advised. He doesn't like his faults and blemishes being called out, especially when it is by someone who is very close to you. A lot of people struggle with it. For some reason, a lot of people struggle with Islamic advice particularly. So if you have something to say about dress, something to say about diet, something to say about health and nutrition, people are grateful. The moment, however, you bring up Islam, especially if it's between husband and wife, they seem to struggle with that type of conversation. So you say, how am I going to return it to Allah and His Messenger? How do I give that type of advice when my spouse hates it every time I try to give advice from our religion? And so what happens because of this? Problems grow. So a brother will say, a sister may say, I tried applying this principle 16. I tried referring our problems back to scripture. I tried to find an Islamic solution. Every time I did that, however, I got such a bad reaction. I can see from the facial expressions, the rage, the bulging veins, that my advice is not going down very well. So I decided to stop. I stopped applying principle 16. So what happened? The sin had to continue. The problem continued. And then that problem developed many layers and facets, and then it became compounded. And then hatred, resentment, and bitterness formed. And then there was a huge explosion, an eruption of anger, and now they're picking up the pieces and they're bringing in a sheikh to try to resolve their problem or manage it. And the question is, why were you not speaking to one another before this happened, and now you're bringing the sheikh to try to fix something that could be beyond repair? So man, by his nature, it seems he struggles with advice, and husband and wife, particularly between them, they struggle with Islamic advice. So a husband will give advice to his wife, and she will have this allergic reaction. It's like electricity, a current is going through her veins. And it's like, you're trying to control me. You're just so unromantic. Why are you talking like that? And similarly, a wife, she may try to advise her husband, and how will he hear it? You're calling my leadership of the relationship into question. I'm the one who should be giving the advice to you. Well, like, what do you know? Like, I attended this retreat and this course, and I've done this online program. I know, you don't need to tell me. There's just a current. There's a bad air in the room the moment they bring Islam into the conversation. And a lot of brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, they don't know how to hold an Islamic conversation. Have you noticed? Like, they can talk about anything. Football, weather, children, food, family. Islam, there's just an awkwardness in the room, and we just want to kind of turn that page and continue. They don't know how to do it. And Islam only ever comes up in conversation when they've fallen out, and mom and dad are now dragging them to the sheikh, and he's now trying to solve their issues. It shouldn't be like that. Now this aspect, this point number one that I've just shared with you, our hatred of Islamic advice, to deal with it, remember two things. The first, see advice as a gift that has been presented to you. That's how our predecessors saw advice. They didn't see it as a bullet that was shot at them. Called into question their dignity and their honor. It's like, you've given me advice, jazakallah khair. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to change it before my fault is called out by Allah on the day of judgment, and then I can't do anything about that then. Thank you, jazakallah khair. And that's why Amirul Mu'mineen Umar, he would say, رحم الله امرأ أهدى إلي مساوئي. May Allah have mercy upon a person who gifts me with my faults. May Allah have mercy upon an individual who gifts me with my faults. So advice should be seen as a gift, of course, as provided that you offer the advice the same way you provide a gift, carefully, gift-wrapped and in an elegant way. That's how they saw advice. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he would say, "Inna min akbari dhanbi," one of the most major of all sins. "An yaqula ar-rajulu li akhihi," is that when a person says to his brother, "Ittaqillah," fear God. Fear Allah, he's giving him advice. Fear Allah. And then the man turns around and says, "Anta ta'muruni aw 'alayka bi nafsika, anta ta'muruni?" You take care of yourself. Who are you to advise me? Ibn Mas'ud, he says, that statement of you mind your own business, how can you give me advice? He says that is one of the most major of sins. Because it's arrogant. And that takes me to the second point. We said, number one, see advice as a gift that was given to you. Thank your spouse for it. Encourage him, encourage her to do that. And then the second thing we said, beware of arrogance. Because what is it that stops people from applying Principle 16 or accepting advice that comes from Principle 16, return it back to Allah and His Messenger? It's that barrier called arrogance. And barrier is an understatement. And that's why in the Sahih, it's narrated that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yadkhulu al-jannata man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min kibr." Any person who has an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise. And a man, he panicked when he heard this, and he said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ya Rasulullah, ar-rajulu yuhibbu an yakuna thawbuhu hasanan wa na'luhu hasana." O Messenger of Allah, what do you make of a person who likes to dress nicely, likes to wear expensive shoes? I.e., is this arrogance? I don't know. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna Allaha jameelun yuhibbul jamal." He said, no, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. No issue with that. What is arrogance? He said, "Al-kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas." Arrogance is to reject truth and to look down upon people. Arrogance is two parts. It's to reject truth. You've just been given advice and you've always got some way to deflect it. What about you? I have a fatwa. I think what I'm doing is fine. I'll deal with it when I deal with it. Let's talk about something else. He said, arrogance is the rejection of truth, number one. Number two, and to look down upon people. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu describes the hypocrites. Beware of this attribute, my brother, my sister. And test yourself against this ayah. I will share with you whenever advice comes your way. Allah said about the munafiq, the hypocrite, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. Allah said, when it's said to him, "Fear Allah," the hypocrite, he says, or when it is said to him, "Fear Allah," pride carries him off to sin. فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ, Allah said, hellfire will be sufficient for him. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ, and what an evil resting place it is. So, in conclusion to this principle, really, brothers and sisters, or actually, there is a second point I wanted to mention. The first, we said, the hatred of advice and how to deal with it and the avoidance of arrogance. The second point, which we need to be aware of when speaking about return it back to Allah and His Messenger, is the danger of religious blackmail. And it is very easy to fall prey to this problem when trying to refer your problems back to Allah and His Messenger. And it can creep in a very subtle way. And religious blackmail is not only damaging to the relationship of a couple and crushes it so quickly, it is also very damaging to a person's relationship with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the one who is the recipient of it, of religious blackmail. Now, allow me to explain. Take, for example, a brother who's constantly waving the "you need to be obedient to me, oh my wife" card. So in the face of every mistake she may make, although they may be few, he's threatening her with this hadith or this ayah, these Islamic texts. Now it could be that from 9 out of 10 circumstances, mashallah, barakallah fiha, she really has tried to be at her husband's wish. But on one or two of those occasions, she failed, as we all do. Instantly he takes out this card. "You are a disobedient woman and you know what awaits a disobedient woman, he will say. Now, she struggles to square this up in her mind and to harmonize it, because on one end, I've got these texts that are threatening me and they're frightening and this is making me feel anxious and vulnerable. And then on the other hand, I've got a husband who's failing. How do I square this in my mind? I mean, is this religion even fair? That's what I meant by saying religious blackmail can eventually do what? Crush a person's relationship with Allah. Because now you've made this false association in your mind. You've caused a false association in the mind of your wife, which is that Islam equates to pain, guilt, fear, punishment. And that's not an association that the religion made. You see? And similarly, a wife, she may do the same thing for her husband, religious blackmail. She will say to him when he comes home late, have you not heard of the hadith, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ? The best of you are those who are best to their wives, and I, the Prophet ﷺ, I am the best to my wives. You've come home late, so you're not the best of people. You are actually the worst of people. And then when he wants to go out with his friends, for example, she tries to control him. The Prophet said, the best of you are those who are best to their wives. You should be spending time with me. You are not the best of people. You are the worst, therefore. طيب. He's spending on her most of the time, and then he falls short on one occasion. She says to him, the best of you are those who are the best of their wives. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. You're supposed to be a leader in your family. Allah says you're supposed to be a leader in your family. You are a failure. Allah said, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Because of the money that the man spends on his family, you're not spending anything on me. You are a failure. You are inadequate. And she's constantly making him feel that he is a failure and inadequate. So what happens? On one hand, he has these texts that are saying to him, you need to take care of your spouse. On the other hand, he has a wife who's failing as well. And therefore, there is this hatred and resentment and bitterness that develops towards Allah Jalla Jalaluh. Because he sees that this is the religion that's causing me this pain. So religious blackmail is very damaging. Advise one another, but present your advice as you present your gifts. And choose the time and choose the place and choose the tone. And be wise in the opportunities that you look for. So these are two points I wanted to share with you. The idea of man's hatred to advice and how to deal with it when you want to return your disputes to Allah and His Messenger. And the second element is, beware of using this verse as a justification for religious blackmail. You see, I don't remember the last time I attended a marriage ceremony, aqid, right, whereby the sheikh did not say ala kitabillah wa ala sunnati rasulillah. This marriage is upon the book of Allah and upon the sunnah of the messenger of Allah. Every marriage that happens is usually introduced with that statement, Quran and sunnah. You guys are married based upon Quran and sunnah. But what is amazing is that following the very first dispute that they have, they make it obvious that they don't have half a clue about what the Quran and Sunnah have to say about marriage as a whole. They've done no course. They don't know how to speak with one another as practicing Muslims. Yet your whole marriage apparently was predicated upon Quran and Sunnah. Where is it? The Quran and Sunnah is not just there to solve our problems when we fall out in front of the Sharia council. It's there to be part of our everyday life. And that is why I share with you one practical suggestion to how we can apply principle 16, which is return your dispute to the Quran and Sunnah, or Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What can a person do? I give you just one simple solution, and that is to take Riyadu Salihin, which is translated as the meadows of the righteous, perhaps one of the most famous ahadith collection in existence by Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Over about 1,400 ahadith in the most important departments of life, marriage and otherwise. Order it online, find an English Arabic version or something in your native language with some basic commentary, ideally, and make a habit of reading one or two or five or 10 ahadith with your wife nightly or every other night or twice a week, whatever your schedule and hers can accommodate. Why is this so important? In helping to train yourself to apply verse 16 or principle 16. Because now you are learning the skill of speaking with one another about a religious matter. So you're reading these ahadith, you're going through the commentary, and then you reflect. What does this hadith mean? Well, I'm not too sure. Let's go and research it and find out. Let's go and ask Sheikh so-and-so. Oh, this hadith, I can really relate to it. I remember when this happened, subhanAllah, I never knew this was something in our tradition. Ah, this hadith reminds me of you. Oh, this hadith does not remind me of you. Ah, you're having these conversations. With time, there is a love that is developed towards the Islamic revelation. Which means that when a problem occurs, you will feel the inclination and the urge to return your problems back to the Quran and the Sunnah. You will feel the want to do that. Why is it that we go to people for advice usually? Why do we choose the people that we do? Usually it's because of an emotional reason. Because we love them, we trust them. So similarly, when you are developing this relationship with Riyadhul Salihin or its likes, could be a book of tafsir, for example, you're both developing an attachment to your religion and its literature. And therefore you will know and you will want to go to the right place if and when a dispute arises. So this is principle 16 that says, return it, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Return your dispute to Allah and His Messenger. Principle 17, and this is the last principle from this batch of Quranic principles, when there is a dispute between husband and wife. And that is where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the graciousness between you. Ya Allah, one of the most beautiful Quranic principles in every department of life, particularly in marriage. Now what is interesting is that this principle that I just shared with you, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, is from chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah of the Quran. It's actually in the context of divorce. But I've cheekily placed it in this particular section for you, which is before divorce, during a dispute, because this principle is so effective in helping a dispute. And therefore I've placed it in the section when they are still married and sorting their problems, although the context of the ayah, as I shall explain with you, is the context of divorce. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the graciousness that is between you, husband and wife. Don't forget it. What is the context of this ayah? Well, first of all, I say that one of the principles, one of our jurists, he said that the lack of application of this principle, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, don't forget the graciousness between you, husband and wife, the lack of application of this principle was the reason behind the overwhelming majority of divorce cases that he experienced in his time as qadi, as judge. When there is a problem between husband and wife, questions like, what happened to the good old days? What about those moments of joy and happiness and intimacy that we shared with one another? What happened to them? What happened to those moments of loyalty and khair and humor? What happened to them? They are all thrown out of the window. And the conclusion is, you have never done anything for me anyway, husband, wife. Whereas Allah says, do not forget the graciousness between you. Meaning what? It's there. Your mutual graciousness towards one another, it is there. It just requires that you bring it up in memory. You load it up. Don't forget it, but it's there. What is the context of the ayah? Subhanallah, it's phenomenal. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ. If you, men, divorce your wives, مِن قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ, before you have consummated the marriage, وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً, and you had specified a dowry for your wife, £10,000, £20,000, £5,000, you'd specified a dowry. وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُ وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ. You are to give them half of that dowry. إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ. Except if the wife decides to waive her half. أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ. Or the husband waives his half of the dowry. What does this mean? Very simply put, this is a scenario where a man married a woman. Then, before the consummation happened, before any intimacy was to take place, for one reason or another, he divorced her. And prior to the divorce, there was a dowry that was agreed upon. Whether dowry was given to her or it wasn't given to her, it doesn't matter, according to some of the scholars. He says, I will give you 5, 10, 15K. In that situation where the divorce takes place and that marriage was not consummated and a dowry was stipulated, then the right of that divorced woman is half of the dowry. Clear? Allah says, with the exception, however, to if the woman, the wife, decides to waive her half. She says, you know, khalas, jazakallah khair, you take your half. You take it back, husband. أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدْهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ Or the husband himself, no, he says, I will waive my half of the dowry, I'll give you the full dowry. Clear? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى And for you to waive your personal right is nearer to piety. Subhanallah. Look at how Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is nurturing the believers to have this dignified khuluq, mannerisms, even when they are going through a divorce. For you to overlook and to waive your personal right, that is nearer to piety. Husband, give up your half. That is nearer to piety. Wife, give up your half. That is nearer to piety. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَنْسَوْا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ That's the principle we're going from. And that's where we got it from. Do not forget the graciousness between you. لا إله إلا الله. Isn't that amazing? Yani, what is the graciousness that is between those two? Like, what have they done? Don't forget the good old times. That is one of the translations. I mean, there's two ways to translate this, to be honest. The majority translation or meaning is to say, don't forget to behave in a gracious manner during this moment of divorce. That's one way of understanding the ayah. The other way of understanding it is, do not forget the good old times. Don't forget the grace of the past. As Al-Alusi, he said in Ruh al-Ma'ani, he said, وَلَا تَنْسَوْا الْإِحْسَانَ الْكَائِنَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَلْيَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ عَلَى ذِكْرٍ Don't forget the good treatment that you showed to one another in the past and keep it in your mind. What good times did they share? He has just divorced her. They haven't even consummated the marriage. So of course they don't have children because they never even shared a bed. It never got that far. What graciousness is there between them to remember? I mean, maybe there was a conversation of how are you? What family are you from? And what university do you study at? Perhaps there was a bouquet of flowers here and there, a box of chocolates here and there. Okay, khatib, makhtub, they're engaged. But that's it. That's it. Sah? And despite that limited time that they've spent with one another, Allah said, don't forget the graciousness between you. So what do you make of a brother and a sister who've been married for a year and they're now going through divorce? Or 10 years? What type of grace existed between them? How can you say he's never done anything for me? 15 years worth of marriage, you've got 1 or 2, 3, 5 kids between you, and you say, she has never done anything for me? Don't forget the graciousness between you, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said. Ya akhi, if you were struggling with a 10 kilo bag of rice, now, outside of Al-Masjid, you're going to your car, and then somebody sees you in the street and says, let me give you a hand, and carries the bag of rice for you to the car, you would be indebted to this person till the day you die. You say, yeah, but he carried the bag of rice for me to my car. And you forget that your wife had carried for you your child inside of her womb for 9 months, not a few meters to your car. And you say, what have you ever done for me? And you, sister, will say to your husband, what have you ever done for me? A'udhu billah, a statement that takes people to hell. Allah said, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ Never forget the graciousness between you. This is a principle for divorce. I'm sharing it with you here today on this evening because you and I need to apply it during our disputes when we are still married. Load up all of the good memories. And then you make the balance. You weigh up the pros and cons. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in the hadith which Muslim narrates on the authority of Abu Hurairah, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة no believing man should hate a believing woman, meaning no husband should hate his wife. Why? إِن كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقَى رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخر. Because if he hates one of her characteristics, he certainly admires others. In other words, don't forget the graciousness between you. You don't like this aspect of her. What about all the other aspects that you do like? And similarly, the Prophet ﷺ would say about the women, as is narrated in the Sahih, when he found that in hell the majority of the inmates were women, and one of the women, she asked, why? Why is that the case? What did he say? يَكْفُرْنَا الْعَشِيرِ. Because you deny the favors of your husband. وَيَكْفُرْنَا الْإِحْسَانِ. And you reject the goodness that he has done for you. لَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهُنَّ الدَّهْرَ. If you do a lifetime's worth of good for a woman, he said, ثُمَّ رَأَتْ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا. And then she sees something she doesn't like of you. قَالَتْ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَطْ. She says, I've never seen any good from you. That is a statement, according to the Prophet ﷺ, that takes a person to hell. You see a blemish from him, you say, you've never done anything for me. That's a big statement. Why? Because Allah says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't forget the graciousness that is between you. And this was the way of our Prophet ﷺ. Anybody who did him any type of favor during his life, he never forgot it for him. That's the behavior of the noble one, the Kareem, the one who's free. When he saw an old woman once in the street of Medina, and he greeted her with phenomenal warmth, and he sat her down, old woman, and he spoke with her, كيف أنتم? How are you? كيف كنتم بعدنا? What did you do after us? How's life? How are you? And then our mother Aisha, she asked him when she left, you gave this old woman, O Messenger of Allah, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. So much attention. Who is she? What did he say? He said, كَانَتْ تَأْتِينَا فِي زَمَانِ خَدِيجَةً. This is a woman who used to visit us back in the days of Khadija. That is a woman who used to visit us back in the days of Khadija. And then he said, وَإِنَّ حُسْنَ الْعَهْدِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And taking care of old ties is part of Iman. Don't forget the graciousness between you. That old woman reminded him of his wife Khadija and those happy days back in Mecca with her. And so he gave her this extra time and attention and warmth because he never allowed graciousness between him and others to be forgotten. And the examples of this are so many. I know of a brother who fell into an immense amount of debt, £15,000 to be specific. And he endured unimaginable stress because of it. Then on one particular evening, his wife came with an envelope. He said, what's this, Ummu Fulan, mother of so-and-so? She said, this is £15,000 cash. It's for you to pay off your debt. He said, I know you don't have 15K. What are you, a dealer or something? Where did this money come from? She said to him, it's the money that you've been giving me throughout the years. Pocket money, here and there, whatever you had. I was saving it up for a rainy day like this. So take it and pay off your debt. Subhanallah. Can the virtue of this woman ever be denied? Can the grace of this woman ever be rejected? Now, if you were to think about what your wife, your husband, has been offering for to you throughout these years, you would find that it is far more than a monetary commitment. They've given you their time and their effort, their loyalty, their love, their children. Are they not worthy of this principle that says, don't forget the graciousness between you? It's a mighty principle. And I know of another brother who divorced his wife and he had children from her. And so what did he do? He rented out the flat that was above him in the same block of apartments. And he said to her, you live there. And he paid for the electricity, the water, the gas, the bills, the rent. And she and her children, they lived there and they would come downstairs and have dinner with Baba, have breakfast with their father, and they would go back upstairs with their mother in the evening. And he said, I've fallen out with so-and-so, life between us can't continue. I will support her till the day she dies. She's the mother of my children. And Allah says, don't forget the graciousness between you. Yes, we've fallen out, but there were good days. And that's what helps me, he says, stay sane and to support her. Subhanallah. These people live long. These people are happy. And another brother,
La ilaha illallah.
This one is perhaps even more profound. Another brother who said that ayah, I have a wife and she's given me 7 children, may Allah bless her, Ummu Fulan, in one of the Gulf countries. And unfortunately, with the passage of time and because of 7 children, what that does to the body of some women, she's developed a disease, she developed Parkinson's disease to be specific. And every now and then she'll be touched by this type of paralysis and a type of passing out. And I would have to take care of her from A to Z. He said, I mean, take her to the bathroom and bathe her and clothe her and turn her from side to side when she's sleeping and hand feed her. And he said, the love that I have for her is beyond your imagination. And I pray to Allah that my day comes before hers. He said, I make dua that I die before she dies because I cannot bear the thought of living without the mother of so-and-so, Ummu Fulan. Because she's given me 7 children and she's given me so much love and I never forget the graciousness between us. This is how the Kareem behaves. That's how the honorable person behaves. So these are some examples of this principle in action. So your husband, dear sister, generally speaking, he spends on you. Generally speaking, he takes care of the bills. Generally speaking, he's generous with his wealth. And then there is a small period of time when he's not. Let it pass. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't forget the graciousness of the past between you. Your wife, generally speaking, takes care of the home. Generally speaking, is good with the children. Generally speaking, dresses up for you how you want her to present herself for you. There is a day or two or a period where she doesn't. Let it pass. Huh? Because don't forget the graciousness between you. Or you retire and now you're on a pension and it's a low income. Dear sister, are you now going to offend him and lose interest in him after a lifetime's worth of spending? Now that he has a low pension, you've lost interest? Don't forget the graciousness between you. Your spouse, your wife, my dear brother, or vice versa, they're beginning to lose their looks. Time is now, and age is putting its claws into your face and your joints, and the wrinkles are appearing. Are you going to lose now interest? And knocking on the doors of infidelity? And dropping hurtful comments? And eyes that start wandering around? What about the days of the Shabab? This woman, this man gave their youth to you. And Allah said, لا تنسوا الفضل بينكم. Don't forget the graciousness between you. So these are some examples. And by the way, this principle extends to every department of life. You can even extend it to your in-laws. You say that I can't forget the graciousness of my in-laws towards me. They chose me of all people to marry their daughter, to marry their son. I cannot forget that favor of them upon me. To your employees, your students, those who used to have some sort of relationship with that, any capacity. Don't forget the graciousness between you, even if it was a moment of goodness that you shared with one another. And that is why Imam Shafi'i, he had beautiful words, and I leave it with this. He said, Al-hurru man hafidha widadu lahza, wa man afadahu lafza. He said that a man of virtue is the one who remembers a moment's worth of love that he shared with an individual and one word of benefit that he took from a person. That's the person of virtue. You've shared a moment of love with a person, you never forget this individual. And you've benefited from that person with one word at some point in your life, you never forget that individual. Why? Because لا تنسوا الفضل بينكم. Don't forget the graciousness between you. So as I mentioned, this is a principle that is more so about how to behave during a moment of divorce. But I hope you see with the examples that I shared with you how effective it is when you apply it in your day-to-day life before a divorce happens, where you're able to flush out and to forget all of the negatives because of the many positives that outweigh the negatives. You don't forget the graciousness of the past. So with that, alhamdulillah, we finished the penultimate batch of principles. Next week will be our final session. We're going to cover 3 more principles, how people are to behave in the last leg of this journey, which is during and after divorce. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.